Kathy Villas-Horns is going to tell us about the Superfund and its relationship to other cleanup programs, or the structure of the Superfund multiverse. She has a broad range of experience. She's now with Department of Ag and as in the MDA incident response. And before that, she was with MDA, MPCA, Fothenbeck Dyke, various consulting firms. And you can read all about it in the notes. But here's Kathy Villas-Horns.
Hi, good morning. We've had a good introduction to federal and state Superfund from our previous speakers, but I wanted to take a few moments and talk to you about other programs that have branched off from Superfund and give you a brief tour of those. Okay. Before we got smart about waste disposal and groundwater contamination, we buried waste in uncontrolled settings and we didn't clean up spills, at least not right away. We just walked away from sites. And as John mentioned earlier, here's a slide of Love Canal. Got the federal Superfund program going. And federal Superfund, as you know, was passed in 1980 to address uncontrolled hazardous waste sites and emergencies, and was amended by SARA in 1986. A little bit closer to home, we have the Republic Creosoting O'Reilly Tar Site, where they distilled coal tar and preserved wood and caused significant contamination. That site's on both the federal and state Superfund lists. And, of course, in Arden Hills, we've got TCAP, where wastes were disposed of in 14 locations on this 2,400-acre facility. This site is also on the state and federal Superfund lists. As Michael mentioned, Minnesota State Superfund was passed in 1983. It's Minnesota Statutes Chapter 115B. An important feature of the Superfund laws was that it allowed government to reach back into time to find responsible parties and require them to address a site, even if they no longer operated the site or owned the property where the business was operated. And after Merla, it was a busy time in state government. Many other programs were passed. Merla was amended, and other things got started. The first amendment to Merla was in 1985 when the harmful substances compensation legislation was passed. This legislation created a board to reimburse private parties who, maybe if your well was contaminated or the market value of your home decreased due to contamination, you wanted to hire your own contractor to clean it up or install a treatment system or a new well, you could hire your own contractor and then get reimbursed from this board. RPs obviously are not eligible to be reimbursed from this, and in 1996 this board was abolished and the duties were transferred to the MPCA. And today they get about 1 to 2 claims per year from this fund. Another important cleanup law, which is not part of Merla, but Michael mentioned this earlier, is the Petroleum Tank Release Cleanup Program, Minnesota Statutes 115C, which was passed in 1987. This was passed to address petroleum from leaking tanks, and not from pipelines and other sources. And with the petroleum program, it established the first time in Minnesota where there was a surcharge placed on contaminants that went into a fund to pay for reimbursing people for doing investigations and cleanups of sites. This was an important precedent. It's been repeated in several other programs, cleanup programs in the state. Other programs within the petroleum tank release cleanup include petrol fund finance cleanups, brownfields, and RP-led sites. And through this program, thousands of sites have been addressed in Minnesota. A couple years later, the important Groundwater Protection Act was passed in Minnesota. And one of the things that the Groundwater Protection Act did was to move the regulatory authority for agricultural chemicals or pesticides and fertilizers from the MPCA to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Minnesota was the first state to have cleanup of ag chems in a State Department of Agriculture. And following the successful petrol fund model of putting a surcharge on a contaminant, surcharges were placed on the sale of ag chemicals and on applicator licenses, and those funds were placed into the agricultural chemical response reimbursement account. And people can apply for partial reimbursement for the investigation and cleanup costs of agricultural chemicals. The MDA shares Superfund authority with the PCA. The agencies jointly list sites on the PLP, or the state Superfund list, and we share remediation funds to hire contractors. Other cleanup programs at the MDA include voluntary programs, comprehensive program, and the abandoned sites program. Hundreds of sites have been addressed through the MDA program. This historical postcard shows an MDA Superfund site. This is the Kettle River Creosote Company in Sandstone, where they treated wooden paving blocks between 1905 and 1918. At its peak production, it employed 600 people. And here we are, 100 years later, cleaning up the mess with state Superfund money. The creosote still smells and it oozes out of the soil. There's some groundwater contamination at the site, including a private well, and there's significant contamination of Skunk Creek, which is about a half mile away, where they apparently disposed of unwanted creosote. In 1992, MRLA was amended through the Land Recycling Act to include a voluntary investigation program. Now, with the passing of Superfund, people were aware that land and water contamination could be present at a site from the past use, even if the business was no longer there and there were no obvious signs of contamination. People still wanted to buy and develop land, but no one wanted to become an RP. So people in real estate transactions and those involved with lending institutions were nervous. And even before the Land Recycling Act was passed in 1992, state agency staff had been working with voluntary parties to review plans and reports and provide assurances. But the Land Recycling Act more formally established the property transfer program, as it was first called, and it codified the assurances in statute, which allowed the state and also allowed the state to add staff to meet the growing demand of this program. Minnesota was the first state to have a voluntary investigation program, and thousands of sites have been addressed through this program. Here's a picture of some early VIC staff at the PCA: Mike Connolly, Jerry Stonke, Jennifer Haas, and Lynn Grigger. I'm sure you'll agree with me that they were mere children when this program started. MRLA was amended again in 1994 through the Landfill Cleanup Act, which allowed the PCA to address the closure and post-closure care of certain landfills through the closed landfill program. There are about 112 landfills in that program now, and MPCA oversees the activities at 109 of these landfills. They've completed over 100 projects in 20 years. They've relocated waste, collected gas, burned off gas, improved groundwater pump and treat systems, and installed new residential wells and treatment systems. For instance, at the Pine Lane landfill in Wyoming, a new cover was installed. At the Woodlake landfill, they moved waste further away from a wetland. The bottom track hoe moves waste to the middle one, which then moves it to the top. And the top truck takes the waste to a new location. And I know this was all engineered well and thought out, but I still think this is a good slide for safety training. Finally, last but not least, MRLA was amended again in 1995 for the Dry Cleaner Law and Reimbursement Program. This was sponsored by the Minnesota Dry Cleaners Association. 13 states have a Dry Cleaner Remediation Fund. The fund is financed by annual registration fees paid by dry cleaning facilities, as well as solvent fees collected by retailers. So far, about 55 sites have applied for reimbursement, and about $10 million has been paid out. found an old photo on the internet of sparkle cleaners. I think the sign says 60 cats. So apparently they were giving away cats or something with the order. And in summary, all started with Superfund, 1980 for the feds and 1983 for the state. From those laws, other cleanup programs sprouted, and the Environmental Investigation and Cleanup Industry was born. MRLA is now a 65-page statute. The state has spent millions of dollars. Responsible parties and voluntary parties have spent millions more. Lots of guidance documents and reports and other documents have been written. Many pounds of hazardous contaminants have been addressed. And there has been abundant employment opportunities for all of us and labs and drillers created from the creation of these laws. I want to thank PCA staff who helped me with this presentation and thank all of you. Thanks.
Swag items.